voice of God. Tonight we thank the Lord, hallelujah, that he is willing to give of himself by availing himself to share the knowledge garnered through the spirit of excellence that is resting upon him. Tonight we exalt the Lord for his wisdom, understanding, and clarity of the word of God. Brother Scott is from Warsop, Trelawney, and studied biblical and pastoral studies at Jamaica Open Bible Institute. He serves as head deacon and church board member at Victory Open Bible Church in Spanish Town, Jamaica. He's married to wife Ava and is the father of two grown children, Ariel and Emmanuel. We make welcome the man of God tonight as I implore you to open up the channels of your spirit and stay focused on the word of God. Hallelujah. Over to you, Brother Scott.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, my sister. We give God thanks for you. We give God thanks for this group. You have been such a blessing. And I do not take this assignment lightly. You know, I know God's people are here, and you're here to hear from God. You know, I pray that God will meet at the point of need, whatever your need are this evening. Jesus. You know, that God will intercept whatever plan the devil have in the way and just present himself to you as a package that you will empowered to move forward by grace. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We pray, mighty God, that you will take control of this atmosphere even now. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Have your way, Lord, as I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, so this evening I am excited. Yes.
We serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth.
Hallelujah. Singing the name of Jesus, my sister. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, indeed. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Yes. So this evening we'll study Romans chapter 2. I can't wait to get in the word with you, because Romans, you know, is written by one of my favorite writers, the Apostle Paul, under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And it encourages as well as it rebukes us. It sets us straight. And I give God thanks for the inspiration of this book, because it causes us to see ourselves not high and lifted up, but to see ourselves low before Almighty God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want to say to you this evening, as I begin this study, that if we choose to have unconfessed sins in our lives, then we choose to be under the judgment of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And so, in essence, what Paul is saying to the Romans, to the church in Rome, he's saying that the Jews as well as the Gentiles are under the judgment of Almighty God if they do not repent, if they do not take heed to their ways. And so I want to look quickly. It's rather a long passage, 29 verses, but I'm going to try to get through it. Not that I'm going to rush it, but I'm going to just dissect it so we can understand, because it doesn't make sense we rush through it and then we miss the key point of it.
Amen.
You know, Paul said that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I think, he said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Amen. Yes, and if you're not a Jew tonight, then you're a Gentile. Jew, Gentile. If you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. Amen. And I don't believe that we have any Jew here. So we are Gentiles. Amen. In verse 1 of the chapter, chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, it says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For within thou judge another, thou condemneth thyself. For thou that judgeth doest the same things. You know, the chapter starts with therefore. That means it's a continuation from chapter 1. You know, and as we go into chapter 2, you know, I'm going to cause you to examine some key points from chapter 1 that could cause Paul to say, therefore, thou art inexcusable. You know, verse 2, but as we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them that commit such things, and thinkest thou, O man, that judgeth them which doeth this such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Almighty God. You know, as we look at these first three verses, you know, we see from it the God's judgment upon the self-righteous, those people that think they know it all. Amen. First, he addressed the Jews before the Gentiles, because the word was first given to the Jews. The law was first given to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. That's us. Amen. So those first three verses, it shows us God's judgment on the self-righteous, those people that think they know it all. It's an indictment against they know it all. You know, so he said, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are, who judge. Paul points out the sin of the shortcomings of the Jew who thought they had it all covered. That's the Jews, they thought they had it all covered in chapter 1. He now speaks to the Gentiles, that's us. Who think they had it all covered, and that they are exempt from God's judgment because they have not been indulged in the immoralities described in chapter 1. Those are the sexual immoralities, those are like lies, adulteries, all sort of evil concupiscences and stuff that mentioned in chapter 1. You know, so we are seeing a contrast. We are seeing a contrast of the like what we see with the Pharisees and the publicans illustrated in St. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. We are seeing a contrast there when Jesus spoke that parable. He spoke of a tax collector and a Pharisee. They went into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee, he was saying that, you know, he thanking God because he's not like that other man who is an unjust and adulterer, and even this tax collector, because he fasts twice a week, he gives his tithes and all that he possessed. You know, but Jesus showed the tax collector, that's the Gentile or the other person that were there. He stood afar off and he said with his eyes closed, not even looking up to heaven or boast or whatever. He said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You know, and Jesus went on to say in the parable that his prayer was heard more than that of the Pharisee, because he humbled himself. And Jesus went on to say that everyone that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. You know, yes. So we as a Gentile believer, We are under the judgment of Almighty God if we do not change our ways, you know, and humble ourselves before God so that he can, in due time, lift us up, you know. And he said, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. After gaining the agreement of the moralists, that's the Pharisees or the Jews, those that think they have the law and know it well and live by it and whatever. You know, after gaining the agreement of the moralists in condemning the obvious sinner, you know, those are the self-righteous. They're looking at the Gentiles and say, oh, they are the sinners because they who are Jews, they got the law. The law was, the word was first given to them. The law was first given to them. You know, but I want to remind us this evening that it's not who it was given to, but is who uses it. You know, is who uses it. Because you can have your house full of tools. And if you don't know how to use those tools, then the tools are useless. So they, being a Jew, having the word of God, if they don't practice the word of God, then it's of no none effect to them. Amen. Yes. So you say you judge somebody and you do the same thing. You know, you do the same thing that you judge another man with, the same thing you have been doing. And you know, it's as if you're saying that because you have the law was given unto you, then you are all right, you're all set. In Jamaica, we always say thief don't love to see thief with long bag. Because they're doing the same, they're actually committing the same atrocities like the Gentiles, but they think because they have the law, they're going to be excusable. You know, thief don't love to see thief with long bag. Amen. What Paul is basically saying, that since you know the justice of God, as evidenced by the fact that you are judging others, you know, self-righteous, they can see the fault in others so quickly, so and pass judgment on that person because they are seeing the fault in them. He said, Paul said that you are without excuse because the very act of judgment you have condemned yourself. You're judging somebody and you're not seeing yourself in the light of the word of Almighty God. You know, if you want to know, if you and I want to know how to live as a Christian, or to know when you fall short or when something is wrong in your life and whatever, just look at the unsaved. They will point out to you where you exactly. As soon as you make a mistake, they are there to point it out and say, and then you say you're a Christian. You know? Yes. So they know how to live. How the life of a Christian should be, you know, and they sometimes act as our looking glass. They would stand and point fingers at us, and yet they are doing the same thing. You know, they are unrepentant. They are doing the same thing, but as soon as you as a Christian slip up, or as soon as you're a Christian do something that they don't like, or they don't think is in the word or whatever, they point fingers at you, even though they don't read the word, you know. But the word of God tells us that even those that don't read the word, God has appeared to them in the form of nature. When you look around you, all you see is God. Even as unsaved, all you see is God around you. When you see night turning into day, day turning into night, when you see the rain fall, when you see the sunshine, when you see, you know, hurricanes, when you see a snowstorm or whatever, it's evident that there's a supreme being somewhere. And the unsaved know that, even though they're not reading the word, but when they look at the circumstances surrounding their situation, when they look and realize that when they see a Christian person pray, they see results happening, they know that of a truth, there is a God somewhere. Maybe they haven't surrendered yet, Or maybe they don't even plan to surrender, but they know without a shadow of a doubt that God is. You know, so they're quick to judge you. They're quick to see whatever mistake you're making as a Christian. A matter of fact, as soon as you profess Christianity, you know, and come out from among them, it's like there is like a bounty that is set on your head. You know, they're looking for you to fail. They're looking for you to fall short somehow. They're looking to condemn you. The word of God tells us that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he's looking for every way possible to condemn us as Christians. But the word of God also tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So in the midst of it, there's hope. Amen.
Amen.
In verse 4 and 5, quickly. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Yes, and if you have a Bible with you, you could just follow through with me so I don't leave you behind and stuff. So we're looking at verse 4 and 5 now. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Amen. So verse 4 and 5, we see God's judgment against the know-it-all is unveiled. You know, God pouring out his judgment on those that think they know it all. That's the Jews that think they know it all. Also the Gentiles. God, we think we know it all too. We think there's no one knows it like us. You know, we have it all covered. Even as Christians, sometimes we think we have it all covered too. You know, and maybe take like a day or two or maybe a whole year for you to see a mistake that you were in error all this time. You know, but God have a way when we yield ourselves to him, he magnifies sin in our life. Maybe you're doing it and you think that you have all rights to be doing it.
Amen.
You know, yes, you have all rights because you stopped talking to the brother or the sister because you said that they are the first one who offended you. You are the one who did you this, and they are the one who did you that. So they draw first blood. So because they are the one that didn't call to you yesterday, you see them first today. You're not going to call to them because they didn't call to you. You know, you're not going to call to them. And you continue with that thinking the brother or sister malice you. And you think you're justified because you said, he's the one that first didn't call to me and he saw me first. You know, and you keep that up. Maybe the brother or the sister mind was so far away, not even recognizing that you were in that atmosphere. And the brother and sister may think, may not even notice you at that point. But you see it and you say, boy, it is justified. You're not going to speak to the brother or sister because you have it all right. Amen. Yes, but it sometimes it takes a little while for us to realize our error. Because as long as you are reading the word of God, as long as you're under his authority, God open up. And as long as you're praying and living practically the word of God, he's going to open up and show you your errors wherever you're falling short. And many times when he shows you, it always come with some brokenness, some tears. You know, it always come with you melting down before him when you recognize how sinful you were all this time, how in error you had been all this time. You know, sometimes that's why you see the word of God tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, because when you obey God to the T, he's the one that enlightens your pathway and give you that peace along the pathway that you choose. I was reflecting on something today. I don't remember quite well what I was reflecting on, But the end result of my reflection, I said to myself, everything that happens in my life as a Christian, it is God that has allowed it. And forever, whatever it is, he's the one that should get the glory from it. It's not an easy road. And whatever I do, I put God first so that he can direct my path. Whatever I do, whatever big thing or small thing I'm set out to do, I place God first. And whether I got the victory in it, to my understanding, I give God praise. Whatever the result is, whether victory or something that I don't think is victory, I still give him praise because I know it is the will of God. And I refuse to accept anything from the devil. I don't want no shortcuts. I don't want nothing from the devil or anybody that has any attachment with Satan any at all. I don't want nothing from you. I don't want nothing at all from you. If it's not from God, I don't want it. I don't want it because it's going to turn, if you accept something that is not from God, it's going to turn back around and bite you. So don't let the enemy frame you up in no way and give you and cause you to accept no gift from him. God is the one that that supplies our needs. God is the one that deals with us, deal with the Christians. He's the one that promotes us. Don't accept no promotion from the devil. He's the one that promotes us. Our promotion comes not from the east nor from the west, but it comes from God himself. Amen. So he said, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering? Paul points out that they know it all. That's the self-righteous person. They know it all. Himself know about the goodness, the forbearance, and the long suffering of God, which should lead him into repentance instead of an attitude of proudness. You know, I said this more than once. Many people that are not in the church, are not a part of Christendom, when you try to have a conversation with them, they will tell you how good God is. They will show you examples of stuff in their life and say, God is the one that blessed me with this. God is the one that gave me this. God is the one that. And they continue to show you how good God is in their life, and yet they are not repentant. Yet they are not, they have not surrendered their life to God, yet they are living in sin. You know, but the word of God tells us right here in Romans 2:4, it said the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. When God is good to you, it should cause you to have an attitude. It should cause you to repent. You know, it should cause you to really look into yourself. Many a times, even us as Christians, many a times we get some benefits from God. And And when we recognize that we are so unworthy of it, it causes us to be so penitent at times. It causes us to be on our knees when we see how good God has been to us, or he has taken us through some very challenging time. You know, sometimes that we recognize within ourselves that we cannot do it, when our strength at best is weak, and we see God coming through for us, you know, in ways that we don't even fathom. We weren't even looking for him to come through that way. Because many a times the way God comes through for his people, it leaves no doubt in our mind that this must be God. You know, when we see God light up some cloudy areas in our life, when we see God taking us through a period of when we were in ill health, and how he restored us into put back our health back together again, you know, and we look and see how God work with us in the physical, how he manifests himself to us, you know, at times when we look, we recognize that it has to be God. It cannot be no one else. So it lead us to a deeper relationship with him. It lead us into repentance. And you, as Christians, we should not be afraid to repent. Should not be afraid to repent. It should be a lifestyle for us. Repent, repent, repent. Because we sin sometimes when we know it not. We don't want to be left in the dark. We don't want to be we don't want to cause the mercy of God not to for us to be so clouded that we fail to receive God's grace and mercy. Because it's available. It's available to each and every one of us. So goodness, goodness may be considered God's kindness to us in regards of our past sin. He has been good to us because he has not judged us yet, though we deserve it. You know, the things that we have done, if we look back over our life and we see where we're coming from and where God have us now, it would give us a attitude. It would cause us to have an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, knowing how good God is. When we weren't even thinking about him, when we didn't even have him on our mind, he had us on his. You know, he worked in ways that we cannot tell. We do not know why. We cannot tell. You know, when, you know, the songwriter said, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, nor felt not my load. Though friends spoke with rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Sikenio was nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept when the waters went over my soul, yet thought not that my sin had been nailed to the tree. Jehovah Sikenio was nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from an eye, legal fear shook me. I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety. Hallelujah. In self could I see Jehovah Sikenio, my savior, must be. You know, so that's where, when we examine ourselves and look where God has taken us from and where he has us now, is his goodness that has brought us safe thus far, his grace and his mercy. Amen. Forbearance may be considered God's kindness to us in regards of our past sin. This very day, indeed this very hour, we have fallen short of his glory, yet he hold back his judgment against us. Forbearance. That's God's forbearance. You know, the kindness to us. And the long suffering may be considered God's kindness to us in regards to our future sin. Hallelujah. God's kindness to us in regards to our future sin. Not that we plan to sin. Not that we plan to sin, but at times we sin when we know not. And yet God is long-suffering. You remember Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. Jesus said to him, when he said that, when Peter swear and say, he would be killed for him. He would go to what? He would die for Jesus. And Jesus said, no, this very night, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. You will deny me three times already before the cock crow one time. You know, and Peter didn't know. At that time, Peter was so strong. He had Jesus right beside him there. And he said, no, I will go with you. What? Nobody will come and take you away and crucify or whatever, put you to death, give you the death sentence and whatever. Because wherever you're going, I'm going. And Jesus said to him, tonight you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crow once. You know, so that's the future sin. You never know. So we don't plan to sin, but if it happened, God is long suffering towards us. You know, not that you should go and sin presumptuously, but if whatever happened tomorrow, you know that God is long-suffering and he's waiting on you to repent. Amen. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. Many people misunderstand the goodness of God towards the wicked. They don't understand the entire reason for it to lead them to repentance. And so you see, men see the goodness of God. Men see the goodness of God and understand God has been better to them than they deserve. You know, so when we see the goodness of God, we must recognize that God has been better to us than what we deserve, though undeserving. God has shown us kindness when we have ignored him. You know, when our mind wasn't even on him, he has shown us kindness. That's the unsaved. When their mind wasn't even on God, God showed them kindness, and he continued to show kindness even when you get saved. God has shown them kindness when they mocked him. You know, when they God is perfectly willing to forgive. God should be served out of simple gratitude. Serve God. Simple gratitude. Just give him thanks. Give him praise and everything. God to drive us to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Amen. He doesn't drive us to repentance. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't drive us. God leads us to repentance. Repentance is that which comes not by driving, but by drawing. So the goodness of God leads to repentance. It doesn't drive you to repentance. It leads you to repentance. It gives you a clear pathway that because God has been so, so good, because God has been your healer, he has been your defender, he has been your source, your strong tower, it should lead you to repentance. Lead you to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Yes, as we move on, we're at verse 6, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And it shows us God will judge the know-it-all. That's the self-righteous. God will judge the self-righteous because their work also falls short of God's perfect standing. Self-righteous person, God will judge you. You know, you think you have it all covered, you have it all right. That's what verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 tells us. I believe you, most of you have read through the chapter already. So in the interest of time, I won't be reading some of the verses, but I will just be commenting on it, if that's all right with you. Amen? Yes, so God will judge the know-it-all, those that believe that they have it all covered and they have nothing to worry about. They have been going to church every Sunday. They have religiously read the word. They have religiously prayed. They have religiously, think they have it all covered. But God is looking for fruits from us as believers. He's looking for the fruits. He's looking for how you let the word guide your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. You know, so he's looking for the way you use the word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Hallelujah. And of the joint and the marrow, which is a discern of the thought and the very intent of the heart. So it is not enough for you and I to just have the word, but we must put the word into practice. Amen. Many times we know that we must count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when we are going through some challenges and some things that doesn't look right Count it all joy when the money looks funny, when you think that you are in an odd place. Count it all joy still, because God is going to work it out for you. But what you and I do in that time when you should count it all joy is to worry. Amen. It's like the first impulse that would come to our mind when we fall short, when we meet upon some things that doesn't look impressive to us. You know, we start to get serious, and we start to grumble, and we start to fret and worry ourselves. That shouldn't be among us as a Christian, you know. When we fall into that thing, if we have the word of God on the forefront of our mind and have it on our tongue and have let our spirit really tied up with the spirit of Almighty God, worrying shouldn't be first nature, you know. Worrying shouldn't even be among us, because we should start to glorify God in that situation anyhow, because we know that it's a great opportunity for God to show himself strong in our lives. If everything just works smooth and everything just work how you want it to, you're not going to have the anointing, you know, because you have no yoke to be broken, and you're praying for God to use you and have everything. God not going to use you unless there is a work. There's a work that you open up in your spirit. It have to be in your spirit. You know, you have to really, really in tune with the spirit of Almighty God. Because God not going to, if you, for instance, if you're not jobless, he's not going to give you a job. You know, if you have money, he's not going to give you money. If you're not sick, he's not going to give you health for you to get well. So something have to happen that we don't really like, you know, and then God turn it around and change it for good. That's how you get your testimony. That's how you get your testimony. When you cannot angle it, when you meet upon some rough edges and you know within yourself that you cannot angle the situation by yourself, you must have the Savior with you, because you dare not walk alone. That's when God comes through for you. And that's when you can look back and say, God has done it again. And I know of a testimony. Going through a test, most times it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. Because it's like you have some sleepless nights and some really challenging times and stuff going through that test. But when you look back on it, what you have gone through, then you can really praise God for what you have been through, what he has taken you through. It's like you have been, it's like you're buying a vehicle, a nice 2025 vehicle, and you have it. You have been praying about it. You have been asking God for the resources for it. You have been asking God to bless you with it. You have been having some fasting and some prayers and stuff. And the world doesn't see your prayer. The world doesn't see you asking God for it. And the world doesn't see you fasting. Your friends, nobody know that you're fasting. You know, and they don't hear your prayer because you're in a closet, locked down in a closet and whatever. But what they do see, hallelujah, what they do see is a new vehicle that you have on the outside. They see that vehicle. You know, they see the result of your prayer and supplication. They don't know what you have been through in order to achieve it. They don't know the monument that is set up on the inside of you. You know, the greatness that God has placed inside of you, because now that you know that God has done that for you, you know, and I know I've spoken this already. I don't think it's to this group or whatever. But before anything happens in the physical, first it has to break loose in the spiritual. It happens first in the spiritual, then the physical. You know, nothing don't just happen to you as a believer. It doesn't just happen. This is not a scam or anything. It's a process. God taking you through a process. You know, each day you and I go through a process. You and I go through the threshing floor to sieve out every wheat from out of us and whatever. Extract everything that is not like God so that God can refill us and use us again and again. Amen. We'll render to each one according to his deeds. The word of God tells us he will render to each one of us according to his deeds. This is awesome and fearful thought, and it condemns the ones who believe that they know it all, as well as the obvious sinner. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. You know, whatever you sow, that shall you reap. The judgment comes first to the Jew. Amen. Comes first to the Jew. If they are first, and they are first in line for the gospel, according to Romans 1:16, that way I've quoted it. You know, I've quoted Romans 1:16. That says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's power of God unto salvation. To the Jews first, then to the Gentile. And they are first for the gospel, that's the Jew, and they are first in line for the reward. Whatever they sow, they're going to reap it. Judgment first will fall upon them. You know, just like us, the word of God tells us that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the unrighteous do? You know, we are the one that have the word, that know how to live right. Judgment going to begin with us first. You know, so take heed. Take heed to your ways in everything. You know, because to whom much is given, much is going to be required. You know, to whom much is given, much is going to be required of you. You know, give your talent, don't sit on it, work with it, work on it, multiply it. You know, don't hide your talents. Continue to seek God for the purpose which he has called you for at a time like this. Because each and every one of us, as we come into Christendom, as we give our life to God, there's a gift that God has given us. Even one talent you have. We need to find that one talent, or that three talents, or that five talents. You need to find it so that you can utilize it and multiply and work on it. You know, let God bless it. God, the word of God tells us that Paul plant, Apollos water, but God is the one that gives the increase. So we have to first give ourselves to God so that he can show us the gift that he has given unto us. And he has given each and every one of us a gift. We are not just sources. You know, we're at verse 11, 12, and 13. Any questions, any feedback so far from anyone? Any feedback, any questions? Amen, amen. So we're at verse 11, 12, and 13. And it shows God's judgment upon the Jews. Amen. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Amen. Not the hearers, but the doers of the law, they shall be justified. You know, so you can hear the word preach, or you can read the word. You can read the Bible, you can hear it preached, somebody can encourage you. But if you don't act upon it, if you don't work upon it, then you're just going to be considered as a hearer of the word and not a doer. You have to work the word. You know, you have to work the word to have good results from it. For there is no partiality with God. God is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter who you are. Sin is sin. God doesn't show partiality in anything. You know, he's going to give you according to what you have worked. Amen. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Not the hearers, but the doers. You know, you hear it, it fall on deaf ground sometimes. You hear it and you don't do anything to it. You know, but when you act upon it, you are the one that is justified before God. Amen. God's righteous judgment is not withheld because someone has heard the law. Not because you have been going to church, listening powerful preaching on Facebook, etc. God's judgment is only held back if someone actually do the law. You have to do the word. Whatever the word say, do the word. Work the word. Amen. Amen. So a Jewish person or a religious person, they may think they are saved because they have heard the word. But has he been living by it? We have to be living by the word. Amen. Not just hearing the word, but living by the word. Judgment for sin can come with or without the law. Whether you know the law or not, whether you know how to, what to do or what, you're going to be judged just the same. Sin is sin. Amen. So it's best for us to know, be in the know at all times. Know the word of God for yourself. Amen.
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 Yes. Yes. Know the word of God for yourself. Question it if you have any issues with it. You know, a lot of times when you ask a person if they believe the word of God, they're going to tell you, yes, they believe the word of God. They believe the Bible as the word of God. You know, but sometimes it's not only the belief, it's the interpretation. How do you interpret it? Because some people can believe the word of God, and yet it tells them what to, and then believe that it tells them what to eat and what to wear and what to, when to worship and when, you know, it, yeah, and it's the same word of God, but it's how one interpret the word of God. You know, so it behoves us, we are responsible to question God, inquire of God, how to interpret his word, how to interpret it so that we can be beneficial from it and we can live without any condemnation. You know, we can live without any condemnation. We're looking at verse 14 to 16. Verse 14 to 16.
Brother Scott, if I may just interject for a brief
yes.
moment, sir. I was, and backtrack to the previous verses. I just want to share an experience. I remember when I just accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. And there was one of the scriptures that I just couldn't understand. It doesn't matter how I took it and look at it and break it apart and interpret it. I just couldn't see through it. But as I grew, the Holy Spirit would have revealed it to me, how it is possible. Because I used to say, if I am now a child of God and I'm living for Jesus and I'm doing what God says I'm supposed to do, I'm following the laws and I'm obeying his commandments, how is it that Jesus loves me in the same way that he loves somebody who is evil, you know, who does mm-hmm. not obey the law, who would kill people, who would have that bitterness inside and who would do all the things that he has commanded us not to do? And it just could not make sense to me. And as you read verse 11 about not showing favoritism or partiality, you know, it really came back to me that, you know, God's love is unconditional. So God doesn't love me because of what I do or because I am Camille. But God loves each of us with the same kind of love. But he's still going to judge each of us with that same equity, you know? That
yes.
it just came and I just thought about sharing you know, just in case somebody else had that very thought. I had another thought, but then I don't know, it left me. I guess if I remember further on, I'll share. I just wanted to add.
Yes, Camille, Sister Camille, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yes, it's a universal love, agape love that God has for us. You know, you remember Jesus, when Jesus came, God came in the person of Jesus, his son. And you remember where the places where he went, in the marketplaces, he went to eat with publicans and sinners. He went to them, you know, to show his love, went to one called Zacchaeus and said, come down, today I will eat with you. You know, he went to fishermen on the seaside and whatever. You know, he didn't went into the synagogues immediately. He didn't went into the temple and the synagogues and whatever where the self-righteous are, or the ones that are professing, the Jews or whatever. He didn't go into them. He went to the locals because he's showing that he loves them nonetheless, you know, and want to call them unto himself, you know. So that's God. You know, God loves us, and he means it when he say he loves us. There's no partiality in the love that God has spread about in our life. That is why, you see, not because you're pleading the blood of Jesus, he's going to fall the rain on you. And because you're righteous, he's going to fall the rain on you. And the sinner man don't get no rain. What are you going to get the rain? He fall the rain on the just and on the unjust. Not because you're righteous and this sinner man out there, he's going to let daylight on you. And the sinner man don't get no daylight. He's going to fall. He's going to let him get some daylight too. Amen. To show you that God has no partiality and whatever, you know. So know for sure, you know, don't be surprised if on the promotion list at work you see a lot of unsaved on it, you know, lot of saved on the promotion list, lot of unsaved, and sometimes the righteous not even on it, you know. So don't be surprised if the unsaved get some breakthroughs that you think you should get, and you didn't get no, that the breakthrough there. You know, don't be surprised. Yeah, because God is not no respecter of person. So, and don't get vexed neither, because your time going to come, God have you in his agenda, and he knows what he's building in you. You know, he knows the type of character that he's building in you. So don't get disheartened when you don't get the breakthrough that you think you're going to, you should get, and somebody else that is not even a Christian get it. You know, when you get that, when that person who's not a Christian get the job over you, don't be discouraged. You know, God is working out his purpose in you. He's trying to work through you. You know, he's trying to, sometimes you realize most times Christians pray for material things, you know, a lot of material things, things that are perishable, things that are corruptible, you know, things that are going to leave here on earth anyhow, you know, and those are the things some Christians seek after, the things that don't last for long. And sometimes God is showing you a different way. You know, he don't give you the material things that you ask for most times, because he's trying to develop character in you. He's trying to get you heaven-minded, not earthly-minded. He's trying to get you heaven-minded. He's trying to let you see the things of this world becoming strangely dim as you open his word and as you live by his word. Things of this world, you have no interest for it anymore, because of the desire that God has now placed in you. You know, the will that God has now placed in you is different from the will of the world, that you are, you know, the things that you ask for, things to make you comfortable, to create a atmosphere which is conclusive, which is secluded and conclusive for your own selfish gain and selfish desire. And when God created that vacuum for you, you know, build walls around you and everything and whatever, you stay in there uncomfortable. You're not even want to pray. You sleep till daylight. You don't even want to pray anymore because you reach a comfort zone, a comfort level, where you know you attain it, and whatever. So don't be discouraged when you don't get the material things, because those are the things that cause you to take your eyes off the prize and start to worship the creature instead of the creator. Start to focus on these things, you know, that are perishable. People of God, it's some serious time that we're living in, you know, very serious times. And if you're not geared every day or incline your spiritual agenda to be focused on heaven, you know, it's supposed to be sounding sweeter and sweeter every day. Every time you look into it, you draw close to the word of God, you draw to God, you know, prepare in yourself, be prepared rather, you know, for that great day when he will receive you with joy, you know, joy. When he receives you, you're going to receive with joy, because you have your affection set on things above and not on things of this world. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we were looking at verses 14 to 16. Anybody else have anything to share?
I don't have something to share with us, but I have a question. So
yes,
going back to verse 12. Is it saying that because the sinners don't have the law, that means they won't be judged by the law? But because we know the law, we're going to be judged by it? Is it? That's what
he's
saying?
Yes, that's what he's saying. Literally, he's saying that the sinner, they're going to be tried without the law. They perish without the law, so they're going to be tried without the law. But it's the same judgment, the same white throne judgment that they're going to face, just the same. And sin is sin. They should have known. They heard it from so many people. If they wanted to know the law, they would know it. If they wanted to know the precepts of God, they would know it. Churches are so close nowadays. There are so many churches. There are so many people witnessing on the byway and on the highway, but they refuse. They harden their heart. So even though they don't know Genesis to Revelation, they're still going to be judged based on Genesis to Revelation, just the same, because they should know better. Don't hide. Mm-hmm. Don't be changing the channel when you hear somebody preaching on the channel. You're changing the channel like you're smart. You don't want to be convicted. It is counted to you that you hear it, mm-hmm. and you're going to be judged by that, because you hear it. And when you go funeral, as the message start to preach, you take yourself out of the church, you should be in there to hear the word. You are the one to be blamed why you don't have the law, and you're going to be judged by the law, because you should know the law. The amount of people witnessing to you, the amount of flyers and tracts, the amount of Bible. You know, I think most hotel room, I don't know if they still have it, they normally have a little Bible in there, a Gideon Bible or whatever. You know, if you did want to know the word, you would have known it. Amen, sister?
Amen. Let me ask another, just to add to that. So would the Muslims and the Jews, would they be considered the sinners without the law? Would they be judged by the law, or although they grew up in the faith of, you know, being a Muslim, and they don't know anything about Christianity at all?
Yes, sister, it's one standard. The Lord thy God is one God. He controls the whole wide world. So whether or not you have been grown up into a Rastafarian environment, or a Muslim, or a Judaism, whatever environment you have grown up into, you don't have to remain in that environment. The truth, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You don't have to remain in that environment. You know, Paul was one of the guys that used to persecute Christians. He was Saul at that time. He didn't remain Saul. He changed to Paul. You know, he had a complete change around. So not because you were grown or born in that environment, that doesn't mean that you must remain in that environment. You know, and if you can relocate, if you can relocate for opportunities like a job, a promotion in a job or for a better life, why can't you relocate for a better, for the religion of truth or Christianity to follow Christ? You know, yeah, just like how most of, some of us relocate from Jamaica to come to America for maybe better opportunities and stuff. You can relocate from your whatever environment you were grown up in. I know a lot of you know, people from different religion who are turned over to Christianity when the truth set them free. You know, yes, sister. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Yes, sister.
You. If I may just add to what Sister Radian had asked about the Muslims, well, the Jews first, because I believe they use the Torah, right? So the yes. Torah would have been the first five books of our Bible.
Yes.
Am I right? So that means that they would be exposed to the word. No, so they're exposed to the law, and I believe, I mean, they choose to the five books that they want to use, but they still had access to the word, you know? So they still know what is expected of them. And if they, as you had said, Deacon Scott, if they were interested in knowing the word, they could have dug deeper. The Muslims, however, I'm looking at a scripture in Matthew 24:14, right, where it talks about Jesus not being able, not that Jesus said he would not return until everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel message. So whether or not they receive it, it's entirely up to them. But what the word says was that Jesus would not return until everybody hear it, you know, and then it goes back to tie in now to the which verse is it that talks about whether they choose to hear it and do it or just choose to hear it, right, Sister Radian? So they would be exposed to the word based on what this scripture is saying in Matthew before Jesus returns, but whether they choose to do what it says or not would be their decision, and as such they would face judgment in that regard. I remember before I when I came up, I was invited. I think it was Sister Terry that invited me to her church, to a church that she was christening her child, and I went, and I was mind blown because I met these two young people, this couple, and they are Christians, and they would go some of the places that they said their life's mission. They didn't work. Their job was to spread the gospel. And some of the places that they said they went to is the first, as a teacher, me hear about some of them. I never even know, say, some of them places they exist, you know? But they would go out into the field for a few months, maybe 3 months and stuff, and then they would come back home, be here for a little while, and, you know, the church would collect supplies and whatever to sustain them, and then they come, they gather, and they go back. And you know, one of the gentleman who was talking, he shared how the place that they went to is a place where is Muslim or Jews, which one of them wore the cap on their head?
I think it's a Muslim.
So it was populated by Muslims. Those are the ones that pray three times a day, right?
Yes,
and they sound the alarm and they drop everything, right? And they would pray to Allah, and he shared about how disciplined they were and how when the time come and the bell toll or whatever, they would run or they would excuse themselves and they would go and spend some time in prayer. But then he and his wife went there and they shared about Jesus, you know, and they sell the gospel to them. And he testified of this young lady who, he said the young lady said, you know, born, you know, and grew up in the Muslim faith, but after hearing about the good news of salvation, she was ready to convert. She was saying, listen, I prefer to change and believe what you're saying to me about Jesus. And in the end, it is not true than to hold on to something.
Hallelujah.
And then in the end, what you are saying is true, you know? And so it just brought me back to that scripture in Matthew when he said Jesus, he's going to give persons, because he's not partial. He might give persons an opportunity to hear of it, you know, to know of it. What you choose to do is entirely up to you, you know. But yeah, that's my take.
Yes. Yes, if sister. So yes, go ahead, Sister Irene.
No, this is Sister Eulalie.
Okay.
I bless the Lord for this Bible study tonight. I just want to add here that while I was reading the word and I was seeking clarity, I was led to a writing that explains verse 12 to 15. And it says, people are condemned, not for what they don't know, but for what they do with what they know. Those who know God's written word and his law will be judged by them. Those who have never seen a Bible still know right from wrong, and they will be judged because they did not keep even those standards that their own consciences dictated. You know, it went on to say our modern day sense of fair play and the rights of the individual often barks at God's judgment. But keep in mind that people violate the very standards they create for themselves. And so verse 14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, those having not the law are a law unto themselves. This is my little addition.
Yes. Yes, Sister Eulalie. Yes, for they are a law unto themselves. You know, so we are exposed. A lot of people are exposed to the law, to the word of God. But many of them reject it. It's a matter of rejection. They reject the word of God. And they as soon as they start to feel convicted, that they don't come your way anymore. Just giving them the word, talking to them about the word, changing their life. And as soon as they start to feel convicted, they don't call you anymore. They don't come your way anymore because they know that you're going to speak the word to them. And they don't go to church that is Holy Ghost filled, power packed and whatever. They want to go to a church that finishes within 50 minutes. If it go over 1 hour, then they start to get uncomfortable. You know, they are at fault because they don't sit under the word. They don't go to Bible study. They don't go to prayer meeting. They just feel as if they have it all. It's, life is just getting the material things in life. But the Bible tells us that if it's in this life alone you have hope, then you become a man most miserable. So, the onus is on us to know the word of God for ourselves. Just like how we are here online now, we come to know and to apply, not only to know, but to be doers of the word as well. Work the word, you know. So I'm grateful for this passage. You know, this passage, Paul says it in many different ways. And in essence, Paul is saying in these 29 verses is that Jews and the Gentile, they are both under condemnation if they don't repent, if they don't be doers of the word.
Amen.
You know, and yes. So that's Paul is saying over and over in these 29 verses. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Amen. You know, if you think that you don't have the word, it's because you have rejected the word. You need to put yourself in a position where you can know the word, where you can hear the word and to practice the word and whatever. You know, but it's because of our rebellious nature. You know, we prefer to have, we're led astray by our senses. Many of us have too much sense, and the senses lead us astray. You see too much, you hear too much, you talk too much, you smell too much, you know. Yes, you feel too much. Yeah, the senses cause you to sin and to go astray and not to let you zero in on the spiritual aspect of you, of yourself. You know, so if you continue in that wayward way, then you're under condemnation. You're only justified when you change your motives, make your motive be that of Christ. Make Christ be a motivating factor in your life. Get silent. You know, go in silence and get silent. Shut out all the noise from out of this world and just quiet yourself under the mighty hands of God, and He will exalt you in due course. Just set your affection on the things above and not on things of this world, you know, because things of this world are driving Christians afar off. It's causing you to drift. You know, sometimes when you drift off, you're so far from shore that you don't even find that anchor that grips your soul anymore. You're so drifted far away. You have been taken away because of your own lust. You know, because of your own lust and your own selfish desires, you're taken away. But you know the word, because if you don't, many a times, you have the real enemy of our soul that causes us to divert every time we get up. Every time we hear the word, we want to divert. We don't want that channel anymore. You know, we have to be in constant seeking and prayer. Even for us as Christians, we have to cover ourselves under the blood, because the enemy don't mean us any good. You know, and we have to start setting our affection, as I said, on the things that are above. Don't just live for the now. Don't just live for the things that your eyes are beholding. You know, look, have an inward glow within you that is gripped to the anchor of your soul, that is gripped to Jesus Christ. You know, have a firm foundation that even when you're going through some darkest night, some terrible situation, you know that for you to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, you don't sacrifice your salvation for anything in this world that is just temporal. You know, and that's what the enemy wants for us, to sacrifice these temporal things to have our heaven here on earth. You know, instead of looking for a land that is flowing with milk and honey, instead of looking for a land that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You know, instead of looking for eternal bliss, where God will welcome us home with a hope in arms, you know, and see the glory of Jesus shining brighter and brighter. You know, the enemy wants to block us out from that. So people of God, be mindful of your situation and your condition. Be mindful of where you stand in Christ. You know, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental, because the same measure in which you judge others, you will be judged also. You know, the Bible tells us that before you can take the plank, before you can take the beam out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own first, so you can see clearly. You know, many of us, we're quick to point fingers and we forget where we're coming from. You know, what we should have been saying is, there goes me, but only for the grace of God I am who I am today. You know, only God's grace and mercy. You know, so don't quick to point fingers and condemn. Don't quick to judge others. Let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. You know, we are called for a purpose. Let's just do what we are called to do. If you are called to go out and witness, and all Christians are witnesses, witness, let your lifestyle, if you can't speak, let your lifestyle witness for you. You know, you don't have to come preach like Paul to witness. You know, but the one little word you can say can change somebody's life. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Give your life to God. You know? Yeah, he will fix things for you and whatever. Look out for the fatherless. Look out for the widows. Look out for those that are less fortunate than you yourself. And really win them for Christ. You know? Yes. And not because you see a person look a certain way, you're going to assume that that person is far from God or is unsaved or whatever.
Amen. You know?
Yeah, don't be judged. Don't be too judgmental, because that will turn people away from you. You know, don't be quick to say that the person is that. Don't be quick to point out the person's fault per se, but you know, purify yourself through the Word of God. Amen. Yes. So that's it for us for Romans chapter 2. And stuff, as I said, it just tells us that we are all under condemnation if we don't turn. You know, the Jews, the Gentiles, the Christians, whatever, the Pharisee and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the ones that are too far to see, and the Sadducees too sad to see. We are under the judgment of Almighty God if we don't change, break up our folly grounds. Amen. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn over to our moderator who will take over from here. God bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you all and be gracious unto you. And keep you all in the spirit of deliverance for Christ's name, even forevermore. Amen.
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 Amen. Bless the name of Jesus. We thank you, Brother Scott, for giving of yourself tonight and for reading the Word of God and explaining it to us. I pray that God will continue to rest his hand upon you and that you will continue to avail yourself to him so you can bring edification to the life of his people. We bless the Lord. Can we bless the Lord, people of God? Can we give a praise?
Bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
And so at this point, I'm going to open the floor for anybody who have any takeaway that they want to share or anything that you probably have learned from reading the Word of God and from listening to Brother Scott that you want to share with us now. I open the floor so you can go ahead. Okay. My takeaway from tonight's Bible study is that the man of God says that God speaks to everyone, not only through his word, but through other channels such as nature and actions and the actions of those who read and apply the